All right. Well, hey, everybody at PRPC. Miss Riley is joining Pastor Josh and myself for a little sermon homework. So this past Sunday, Pastor Josh challenged us to think about how this last year brought a lot of crisis, but crisis accelerates and crisis clarifies. And so in this email, you'll find a PDF that you can download and print. It looks a little bit like this without my chicken scratch on it. And we're thinking about how crisis has clarified and accelerated things in our life, in our community, and in our world. And so Pastor Josh and I did a little of that homework, and we're here to share it with each other. So Pastor Josh, Riley wants to know, how did this how did this last year clarify things for you in your life?
Yeah. Well, there's two areas that I got some clarity on, in my life. And the first one is my wellness. I got clarity there. And the second one is, about my career. So with regards to the wellness, I learned, that, I need to be more intentional about my overall wellness. And over the last 2 years, I've been improving my wellness relative to exercise. But I learned that I need to do better around my diet, what I eat, and sleeping. There's one thing we know about stress, and we've been under a lot of stress for the last year, is that stress messes with all of those things. And so I needed to be more rhythmic and more habitual around those things. And the growth edge is around the diet and the sleeping. So to do better on that. Career wise, I have gotten some clarity that I am, despite a pandemic, very happy and fulfilled as the senior pastor of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church, have found myself appreciating our congregation more and more, if you can believe that's like possible, because you know how much I already love everybody, and also kind of like our general just position in ministry and in impact as well. And I'm excited to see where that goes.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing.
How about you, Amanda? What has 2020 clarified or accelerated your life? Because if y'all don't remember, baby Joria became baby Riley during the pandemic.
I really can't even think about 2020 without thinking about how motherhood was, it's the whole story. Because in January and February and March, I was just trying to like imagine. And you know me, I'm like always planning 5-10 years down the line. So I was already feeling like, what was it gonna be like to have this human at Christie's one day or something like that? Like I'm all the way down. She's really developing her voice these days. So I really did start 2020 worrying about how do I be a mom? How do I be a mom and a pastor? All of these things. And then the pandemic set in and it clarified for me real quick. I had one job and it was to have a healthy pregnancy. Mm-hmm. I had ended 2019 really, really healthy physically, like really strong and I was really proud of myself. And then needed like, my like mental and emotional health and getting ready to like take care of this tiny human became my only job. So every day my goal was, you know, have a healthy pregnancy. Which meant for me actually like taking care of like my heart and my head and like not just thinking about taking care of other people. So like it got real clear real fast and Officer Joria locked us up in this house and when this pandemic started and put our health as a priority for our family. And you know, the year just continued that way. But I mean, for me in March, it clarified really quickly. I had one job and that was to have a healthy pregnancy and have this healthy baby. So
I can't attest to the fact that you still did your other job of being one of our pastors.
I mean, I also, sure hope way, so, but listen.
I know so. For all of you church people being like, wait a minute. No, Amanda did both, but I can see how the priority and the urgency needed to shift. Don't worry, I had enough mental space taken up with the pandemic for both of us.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So I tried to show up well at work and at home, but there's, my neighbor explained when the pandemic started in April and we were all home, and she was like, I feel like it's like when I became a mom, my whole life shifted in that one day when I became a mom, when her oldest son was born. And she felt like that's what we were all kind of experiencing. Like our whole life was different. We just woke up and it was different. So I had both of those things happen in the same year. So my whole 2020 is shaped by that. I'll be unpacking what it meant to become a mom in the pandemic for a while, I'm sure. It's been a lot different than I imagined, but it made our priorities real clear. And she, you know, so she's been a bright spot in all of it, and also made me be really consistent when it could be easy to not be. Yeah. So that's our life with this loud little girl.
It'll be interesting to see how the pandemic shapes Riley's generation. Like 9/11 had shaped so much in a way that like the kids born at that time had no idea, you know? So, and that happens to all of us in different ways, but like we have some history making moments at the beginning of these decades too. Yeah.
So that's our life. But our lives, our individual lives, are in communities. We are products of our communities, and we have community around us. What is accelerated? What's clarified for you in your community?
So like a lot of us, I spent a whole lot more time in my neighborhood than I had before. And, you know, 6 feet or more, talking with neighbors and whatnot. And so something that got crystallized and clarified for me, there's two things. One is I find that oftentimes with your neighbors, you can agree on what the problems are, but finding your way to the same solution is very challenging, or we're having just disagreements over what the solutions are. So there's common ground to be found. So there's common ground to be found. But then figuring out the way forward is challenging. And that kind of relates to something else that I've recognized more of is sort of two related things. One is just how diverse my neighborhood really is in some ways. We have a whole range of first and second generation people that have lived in Eastern Europe and India in our neck of the woods. And so there's just some real interesting diversity. But also I've learned that there's some real true racism present in my otherwise idyllic suburban neighborhood. And wrestling with what that means has been part of getting better understanding of my community. For instance, there is one of the families is Black, and their children were told that they were too dark skinned to play with some of the neighbor kids. And this was an unfortunate, deeply disturbing thing that I learned that, but it was clarifying about the state of my neighborhood and my community. And I know that's just from my neighbors, and that my community extends throughout a whole part of Chicagoland, but that story is all too common. And a few weeks back, we shared a story about how the Schultz family kind of went through a similar thing, and that just resonates. So, yeah. How about you, Amanda? I know you have always found yourself walking Marley and seeing your neighbors in the community right around the church building in new ways. Yeah. But I wonder, what about this season? What have you learned about the community?
Absolutely. So one of the things I loved about last spring was how many people who were out walking, who were not just out walking dogs. I loved that. And you know, we walk all the time. You know, that was like moving our bodies is a really big value in our house. And even if that just means it's a huge value in our house. And even if that means like me being 9 months pregnant, walking this dog, cause like, I didn't know what else to do with my time getting outside, to like me walking this baby in a stroller and a dog. So walking our neighborhood is huge for us. It's, you know, something that's clarified is like, we really love Park Ridge. You know, we didn't know anything really about Park Ridge when we moved here other than this church. And we've been really lucky to be able to live right in the neighborhood that the church is in. You know, so we've walked all over the neighborhood that we can get to by walking, and then we'll drive to other parts and walk too. So we really love Park Ridge you know, hope to be able to raise Riley here. So like, that's an interesting thing to be dreaming about when you're waiting for your baby to be born, is like, is this going to be her park? Is this going to be her swing set? You know, envisioning some of that, and wondering what that's going to be like. So this community that we're rooted in, and especially the church and PRPC kids, like, it's crazy to me that I have a PRPC kid. Like, I literally don't yet understand that and what that means. But now when I think about what we're offering parents, I have to think about like, well, what makes a difference for me and what makes a difference for my kid? And that's crazy to me. But when I think about how like there are other kids at our church whose parents are cops and Riley's dad's a police officer, like, what? You know, so they're gonna be who help like lead her and us. And when we came here, we didn't know that that was going to be our life, or the fact that we have police officers in our congregation was going to matter to us so deeply. And it does. So that is one thing about our PRPC community that has really like clarified for me. Mm-hmm. In a really weird year, and there were a lot of things that were really hard about Terry becoming a police officer in 2020. Yes. So the other thing that clarified who my community is in this last year is that, you know, I have best friends who live all over the country, and we travel to see each other each year. And this year we couldn't. Or like we did in the very beginning of 2020, and we're not planning to in 2021. But they're still very much my community. And we talk, and Terry and I experienced this a couple too. We have best friends that live all over the country, and like we travel to see them. And now in this year where we've all had to figure out different ways to connect, we found ways, you know, we started doing Zoom and FaceTime dates with our friends who live in Boston or in Bloomington Normal, because they're still our best friends and we need them in our life, even though it's in this different way. So it clarified for me that we're just so not as alone as it feels sometimes. And so I'm just like not letting myself believe that lie, you know? All right, world. Let's do world quick, because we'll see how long this kid behaves.
Yeah, Riley, you've been a champ so far. So,
thank you very much.
Yeah. So I think, the thing that I, so many thoughts about the world. The thing that I'll, the one thing I'll offer is, that I think I've been able to see how thin, the margin, we live by, around the world. And how quickly that margin can be compromised by so many things. So like we've learned, we live on the edge of overwhelming public health and healthcare. But we've seen, I think, how the margin on our ecological system and our ecological world, and that's a piece of it. And then how connected we really certainly are. Because part of it is like, we know these things like the internet and, you know, transportation and government like binds us, but then like we watched a virus, you know, spread across the world, in the matter of, you know, weeks or months. You know, and that just showed, just how interconnected, we are. And how the global village, while both it's, you know, there's been the bizarre, like, paradox between becoming hyper-local, but also recognizing how, we live in this global village too. Yeah, that's like a real, that's like, there's some thoughts in there and it's abstract, but also like, that's what's become more clear to me. And I will, let our children's generation figure out the impact of that, because like, that's like a decades long thing to figure out. So yeah. How about you? What have you learned about the world that you feel like you didn't know before or got clarified or accelerated?
As she chews on a mask, like that's a normal chew toy for a child. Just chewing on a mask. What up?
Yeah.
So a lot of what, there are two things that I felt very strongly when I was on maternity leave, some of the things I was reading and hearing that like hit me so, so deep. And one, so one has to do with like, hey, I'm raising a daughter. Like, we didn't know if we were having a boy or girl. And then I was like, okay, here we go. We are raising a daughter in this world. And so something that, you know, is just clarified for me is how important it is, to raise strong women and surround them with strong women. And that like, there's just so much that has happened, you know, in the last generations that are creating a better world for her to be raised in, but also like I refuse to settle for her to be raised in a world where like because she's a woman it is harder, you know. So I think there's just so much like that the world needs of women's power and like their voice. And she's got one. And so there were just some things like early on getting to know her that I was like, wow, this matters for me in the world. Already did because of like, surprise, I'm a woman with a voice. But mattered for me in a very different way. Mm-hmm. Thinking about the world that she is going to grow up in. Mm-hmm. The second one is, you know, I don't know if this will hit close to home for us or not. In our future, we'll have to see. But the other thing for our world and for our church that just became super crystal clear to me is, you know, it's unacceptable for me for her to grow up in a world where the church is not a safe place for LGBTQ kids. Now, that's already true of our particular church. That's always been true of my church experience. I've never been in a church other like that taught something else. But when I think about like her having to wrestle with some of those questions that I know our young people have of like, can I love God and my gay friends, or can I be gay and be loved by God? I just, that became super crystal clear to me too, that like, that's something in our world that I pray is true for her, that her church experience is never one where she has to like wrestle with some of those things. So
yeah, and I know we've talked about,
you know, there are ways, of course, that 2020 has accentuated those questions.
Yeah. I know you and I have talked a lot about that. And one of the most helpful conversations I got to listen to was the one that Jen Hatmaker had with her daughter, Sydney, right? Is the daughter? Yeah. So, if you've gotten this far into our homework, showing you our homework, we'll link to that episode in the midst of this too. Because
I listened to that podcast when Riley was maybe 4 days old and just wept. Just wept.
Yeah. And I have shared with our church one time, and I could share it as a story again, about how I had a moment when Will was in his crib and he was wrapped up and swaddled. And I have a picture of that time, so I have an idea. When that dawning realization of being a what it means to be an affirming person and pastor might mean in my life. And so I get that. I mean, like, that moment is real. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you, Amanda, for having us do this. And I hope everybody has a, as Riley destroys the microphone, is doing well. So thanks.
Thanks for taking the time, Josh, to share your thoughts with me. I hope everybody has someone they feel like they can share their little reflections with. That was the second part, right? Share it with somebody. So I'm glad we took the time to do that today, and we hope you guys can too. And we will link to that podcast that we were talking about in our show notes.
All right, everybody. Thanks.
Bye.